Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like,
I don't give a fuck about what any of you bottom girls say. Hello, hello, hello.
Good show.
Oh, you know, just here in sunny Las Vegas. Just trying to, you know, live and not be depressed. How are you?
Trying to live is good. Same. I am in sunny Santa Fe. The snow has melted. I have family in town. We've been eating everything, and it's been actually wonderful. Very busy, but we're very happy.
What you been eating?
Hijo de su madre, ¿por dónde empiezo, güey? I made New Mexican enchiladas. For those of you who don't know, this is the thing. New Mexican food, it's all about two flavors. And they do everything with those two flavors. So the chile of the enchiladas you made with chiles. That's it. Sin cebolla, sin ajo, sin nada. But the flavor is so good that you don't need anything else. But the way they serve them is como, like, I guess this is going to sound so gringo, but like a enchilada lasagna, you know what I'm saying? Like you just build it up.
Oh, yeah.
Tortilla. Cheese.
Don't you mean Mexican casserole?
Ándale, güey. tortilla, queso, cebolla. And then you keep it in the oven so everything comes together. And then pull it out. And then you put an egg on top of it. Y lo sirves con arroz y frijoles. You could also put, like, carne molida. But that's too much. That's where I draw the limit. So that's we had that. We had I'm not gonna give them a shout out because they're like the most horrible place, but they have the best burgers. It seems like every place that it's a good burger probably has bad politics. But we had green chili burgers from here, from town. ¿Qué más hemos comido? Dude,
what?
My mom is obsessed con las tortillas de harina de aquí. There's a restaurant called Frontier, which is like, it's like the public plaza of Albuquerque.
Speaking of.
Uh-huh. What?
Problematic places. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
So you're
yes.
giving them a shout out. Go ahead.
That place is decorated with Western art and Native American reappropriations. It's a mess. But... And the food is messy as fuck. I'm not crazy about it, but the tortillas are the perfect thickness. And my mom has done her research over the years that I lived here. And when she came and dropped me off, she bought like 10 packages. And she took like a couple to Juarez. They're so good that even though like, you know, like tortillas are, the harina are from the north, right? My family went crazy and se las comieron todas. Se quedó sin tortillas. So
oh
I me tienes
gosh.
Como pendejo. I voy a Albuquerque to buy 6 packages of tortillas. I'm walking down the street with this big ass box of tortillas. And
oh my gosh.
Mailing him to her. Like, she loves those tortillas. Even my sobrinos, que apenas empiezan a hablar poquito español. Bola, bola, muy bueno, bola.
That's so cute.
So yeah, I've been eating a lot of that, and it's been great. There's also good. Ay no mames, güey. Aquí un chorro de pastelerías bien buenas, and really good breweries. So I'm poor. I'm poor, but it's been good. It's been good. How about you?
Oh man, I love when you talk about food because you always talk about it like you're in pain. Ay no, es que.
Es que soy muy barroca, así. Soy muy barroca, así expreso mi placer.
I just imagine you, like, laying on a fainting couch, like, dabbing yourself with a handkerchief being fanned. Oh, I ate a green chili burger from Racists and then had tortillas from a place called Frontier.
Más chile, por favor.
Oh, that's beautiful, though. You know, tortillas are the same in every language. So
true.
What have I had? You know what I'm back into? I'm back into cereal, honey. I'm eating cereal every day.
I can't.
You know, I quit cereal because I'm like, it's just sugar. I'm just eating sugar, but I don't know. You know, nowadays, you're stuck at home. You just want a little nostalgia. Cereal does it for me. You
What's
know?
Your favorite cereal?
You know, I love the classics. let me think. You know what my ultimate favorite used to be was Honeycomb. Remember Honeycomb cereal?
Yes, I remember.
I don't think they make it anymore, but I remember eating that. Right now, I literally have like standard shit, like Cheerios.
I never could get into Cheerios. Like, there was not enough sugar for me. Like, I didn't get it. It was como Seinfeld. I feel like if I start eating Cheerios, I'm going to fucking get addicted.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess my mom didn't really let us eat cereals that were too sugary. We're only allowed to eat like cornflakes, and Honey Nut Cheerios was the sweetest. And then like as a special treat, sometimes we would get like the bullshit cereals like Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Oh my God. I just saw that they make a churros one. I can't wait.
You know,
I can't
you know,
wait.
You know, when I was a kid, to me Lucky Charms were like El cereal de los ricos. So it's because my family never bought it. And every time I went to like a cousin's house that, you know, like they had more money or whatever, they would have Lucky Charms. And it was just kind of like, but it wasn't that. It was just like my mom bought all the cereal in Mexico. But once in a while, they will go to El Paso and they will bring Lucky Charms. And I thought, oh, I felt so privileged.
Oh my God, you want to know something? When I used to stay at my rich cousin's house, they would have, in the morning, we would eat cereal, and they're like, Justin, have you ever had Lucky Charms Supreme? And I was like, what? You guys put sour cream on your cereal? What are you guys going to do here?
Your references.
And they're like, no. And we'll show you. So they got the box. They dumped out the box of Lucky Charms. They picked out all the wheat pieces, like the actual cereal. Uh-huh. And they separated the marshmallows and the cereal. And then we just ate the marshmallows with milk.
Oh, that's so good.
And then they're like, and I'm over here. And they would make fun of me because I was like, oh, I just want to eat the cereal part. And they're like, are you insane? What are you talking about? Why wouldn't you just eat the marshmallows like us? I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, might as well weird. Might as well eat galletas saladas sin sal, like fucking flavorless shit.
I know. I love it. So in the house right now, I have generic Cheerios. So shout out to Tastios. And I also have... my roommate bought Reese's Pieces cereal.
No.
So I have that one at night, like as a treat, like for dessert, like if instead of ice cream or with ice cream. Let's be honest, on top of ice cream. Why? Because I love myself, okay?
Because you can.
I know. But I'm happy to say that I'm embracing my vegan lifestyle completely. I went to the grocery store today. I even bought like fake eggs to see what they tasted like. And bought some tofu. I just bought it, girl. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I'll report back next episode.
Vale.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. There's a lot of products out there that taste just as good as like the real thing, you know, like sour cream and cheeses and different things that are really good.
I don't know what sounds more painful, my description of chile or your cereal diet. I don't know.
Keep your hate to yourself, Pablito, okay? I don't appreciate this judgment coming from you. You know, I've never judged you for your food choices.
except for the fucking bologna.
That was a joke, dude. I judge everything you fucking say. Okay, what have you been up to?
I've been, I can't say. I just been I've been writing and reading as always. I said family in town, so we visited Chimayo. For those of you who don't know, Chimayo is the sanctuary from the 19th century, and they have un pozo, and el pozo tienen arena, y supuestamente la arena te cura, but it's no fucking bullshit. Like, people go there in crutches, and like, they rub themselves with the sand, and
it's just the dirt from the inside of the church.
No, supposedly they refill it from like some holy mountain next to the sanctuary.
So people, I have a little jar of it.
Cuando yo fui con la Clemen, my mom is like, tenemos que se case tu hermana. So she's just like, casi llega con la pala entera, güey.
Se tiran el piso. ¿Sí? Se tiran la tierra, se revolca.
She's making fucking sand angels.
She looks like fucking Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Así, güey.
From like, the Peanuts.
But she, you best believe, con su bolsa de Soriana, güey, putting fucking sand and putting it in her.
She's like, she rents a bulldozer. It's like, beep, beep, beep.
with a fucking hose, just like pulling all the sand out of the church. Yeah, so we did that. They also have a sanctuary for El Niño de Atocha, and it's like, this is a saint that in Spain it was just the baby in, you know, like a statue of Mary and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And supposedly this Jesus will like get out of the mother's lap and will go and feed the Christian prisoners, victims of the Muslims in Spain. Every time the Spanish could remind indigenous peoples that they were the shit, and just the way that they conquer the Muslims, they also conquer all indigenous religions, they will do it. So all the references to Muslim architecture from the colonial period, it's that. So this saint became famous, and I don't know if you've seen like the iconography. He's holding a little basket with bread. It's for that reason. But when he migrated to the Americas, the Niño de Atocha became just like como el ayudante de los pobres and stuff like that. And there's no statue of Mary no more. And there's three official sanctuaries of El Niño de Atocha. It's one is in Plateros in Zacatecas, which is filled with ex-votos, man. It's so amazing. The second one is here in Chimayo, and they have the little statue that they created in Zacatecas. And the third one is in the Philippines, in Manila. So it's like this thing about New Mexico, that there's all these connections to what we think of religious culture throughout Latin America. So this has been a reminder because like my family is here, and they're like, they have never been here before, and they're like, oh my god, like I feel like it's Mexico, like this looks like a Pueblo Mágico, like there's all these references to all of that. So it's been cool because I've been here for so long, like I lived here before, whatever, that I just don't think about those things no more, you know. So like this is a reminder of like how different New Mexico is. So it's been pretty cool. So we've been doing a lot of that and just stuck here in the house, man. Just working. But el otro día, like a good hipster, like a good old hipster, I was going through my through my Pitchfork news, and I saw a poster for a new installation or a new male wolf in Las Vegas, and I saw Beach House, and then I saw Justin Favela in the same fucking poster, and I was like, this bitch is sharing a poster with one of my favorite fucking bands. I need to know everything.
Yeah, it was really great working with Beach House. You know, I'm very humbled and I was just great to partner with them, you know. Just two professionals working with each other. Shout out to them. I only worked with one of them, not everybody. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Because I don't remember their names.
There's only two, so...
Who is one of them?
One is Victoria y el otro no me acuerdo.
So as you can tell, I don't know anything about that band. And Meow Wolf, if y'all don't know, is an installation in Santa Fe. The first one, there was all these white people doing art installations out there. And then they were able to get funding from, I think, from the guy that wrote
Lord of the Rings.
Game of Thrones? Or Lord of the... No, not Lord of the Ring.
Ese güey está muerto. Ay, te fijas, yo no sé.
J.R. Tolkien came, was like, I know what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give money to these white people in New Mexico.
Oh, my God.
I hook kiss.
Anyway, they took over this bowling alley and made this really cool immersive art installation. So they're opening up one in, or they opened one up in Las Vegas this past week, and they're opening another one up in the future in Denver. And it's really cool. Like the one here in Vegas is set up like a grocery store. It's called the Omega Mart, and you walk into the grocery store, and then all of a sudden there's like a portal through the freezer, and you end up like in this amazing desert landscape, like, and there's like projections, and you go into this other thing, and or you can go into this gas station, and you go into another portal to another part, and it's fun. I took my nieces. We had an artist preview with just a few people last week, and I was able to take my nieces, and they flipped out. It was so cute to see that.
That's cool.
And I immediately left and thought there was way too many people in there, so be careful if you go. Make sure you wear your masks. That's plural, double up, because
yep.
It's like, it's, I don't know, it made me so nervous. There's just so much stuff in there. But yeah, they're paying attention to like local art scenes, so they hired dozens of local artists to do installations. So I made some piñatas for them. At this point, I started making them years ago because this project was supposed to open, but because of the pandemic, they had to push it, you know. But these piñatas that I made last year are now in the store portion of it. Actually, the Latinos Who Lunch coloring book is in their gift shop. So
there you go.
If you want, go buy it at Meow Wolf.
Y cómprate los dos pájaros de un tiro.
Exactly. And so there was a lot of really cool, also not only visual artists, but musicians that did soundscapes for the installation. So I'm working, it was really cool working with them. And now that I saw the installation, I'm going to pitch the idea of making a lowrider for them, because I think it would look so cool in like the desert area that they have.
Nice. That's
anyway,
cool.
Just putting it out into the universe. But so yeah, I was working on that. It's so funny that they put me on the poster though with Beach House. That was pretty funny.
I think Brian Eno is there too. Like, it's like,
yeah, Brian Eno, Santa Gold.
Oh yes, Santa Gold as well.
Oh, I love them. Okay, cool. But also, I've been also working on a project called Live in America. Have I told you about this?
I think you started talking about it in the last episode, but go on.
Mm-hmm. Live in America is going to be this new art festival that takes place in Northwest Arkansas at the Momentary, which is this new contemporary art museum connected to Crystal Bridges. It's like a sister institution. And I'm going to help produce it, or I've been helping produce it for like the last year or 2 years. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Time is not relevant anymore.
Social construction.
There's different regions of North America that are going to be showcased at this festival. And the producers are the same people that do Fusebox Festival. Shout out to everybody in Austin, Texas, and
oh,
Fusebox.
Cool.
Also, Texas, you know, if you can, please donate to organizations in Texas that are helping people get clean water and food. Está perro. Things suck over there. If you haven't kept up with the news, there's still neighborhoods that don't have electricity for hours at a time. And a lot of parts of like Dallas-Fort Worth and like the Austin area, they're at a boil water mandate. They have to boil their water because they're not sure if it's safe to drink. It's really tragic.
I'm glad you brought it up. Like, I had, yeah, this was going to be my recommendation this week, but I guess I'll say it right now. Sochi from Chulita Vinyl Club, which we also interview, reached out to me and was asking to get some support. She's part of several organizations that are delivering water. But if you go to the Chulita Vinyl Club Instagram, in their stories, there's there's one of the stories that is dedicated just to highlight organizations in Austin, Dallas, and other parts of Texas that are dedicated to for that right now, to deliver water and some of the most basic needs, which, because it's a mess right now. So she asked me to do that. So again, all you have to do is go to Chulita Vinyl Club. They are on Instagram. We'll have the link in our show notes, and just check their stories. And there's several organizations where you should donate, because it's desperately, desperately needed right now.
Yes, yes, yes. So Fusebox hosted us a couple years back. We did a live episode over there, a couple live episodes. And they hired me to help them with this festival, which is really cool, this new festival. And so they're highlighting regions in the United States and North America that aren't known to be like performance art or you know,
like art hubs.
Art hubs. They don't want to call it performance art because it's broader than that. It's going to be music. It's also going to be video, happenings, you know, just it, we're celebrating the liveness of America, if that makes sense. And so Las Vegas is one of the regions. So I was really happy that I pitched the idea of Vegas, and there's going to be a lot of Vegas artists that are going to participate in this festival.
Oh, and that's cool.
Yeah, and also we're going to have people from Puerto Rico, Juarez and El Paso, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, New Orleans. Of course, we're going to celebrate the people in Northwest Arkansas. I'm forgetting a few places. Oh, Detroit, Michigan. And I think a couple other places that I can't think of off the top of my head. Oh, we're actually doing, New Mexico is also represented. I believe Albuquerque, Santa Fe area is nice. Represented as well. So it's going to be, if things go to plan, it will be happening, I think, the second or third week of October. Stay tuned. And the website, if you guys want to check it out, is live-in-america.com. So live in America with dashes in between.com. I'll also put the link in the show notes, and you can see what we've already started cooking up for the festival. It's been a really cool experience kind of being behind the scenes, because I've only really participated as like a visual artist for these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And girl, it is so much work,
especially right now that everything is like email on top of email on top of email. Like,
yeah, oh,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot.
Sweet.
Anyway, any other announcements, Baz, before we take a break?
No, I just really wanted to highlight Chulita Vinyl Club. That was, as I said, it was going to be my recommendation. Pero ahí lo tienen. Pónganse a hacer su research.
Yeah, we'll mention it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll mention it again at the end of the episode. Okay, girl.
Okay, uh-huh.
I almost forgot. Before we take a break, I got to tell you about something, because it was one of my recommendations on the beginning of an episode a couple episodes ago. But yeah. I don't know if you have seen the updates on the Bon Appetit reply all story.
Yes, yes.
What do you know? Tell me, bitch.
I know that as a consequence to how they basically were calling out Bon Appetit, they realized that the practices within Reply All themselves as a podcast were very similar to Bon Appetit.
Mm-hmm.
So they are on hold. Están mareados porque las tables have turned.
Again, another fucking blind spot. I was like, oh, Reply All. I've listened to them from day one. You know, I'm a podcast nerd, and so Gimlet was started years ago, and Reply All was one of their first podcasts, along with this one called Startup. And I really like them because Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings of the show For Colored Nerds, who actually inspired me to start Latinos Who Lunch.
Right.
Same. I love them so much. And so when they started working for Gimlet, I'm like, okay, these people are cool, you know? And right. So they had the show The Nod for a very long time. And then I know there was some drama when Gimlet, I think, was like bought by Spotify, and this fucked up shit happened. And Britney and Eric called them out on Twitter about that and how they didn't treat the people of color, how they were basically racist, you know, and treated the people of color like shit at Gimlet. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that I talk about this. And I, you know what I almost did? Like, it was the thing that I complained about on the last episode for about PC culture. I'm like, mm-hmm. fuck, why did I even recommend this fucking show? If and the, in my gut, I felt it like there's something off about this, right? Because I remembered Britney and Eric talked about it on Twitter last year. And I was just like, no, you know what? They're bringing this to light. This is a good thing. But hello, that's like my white feminist pussy hat thinking, right? Like I didn't really go beyond what I was listening to. Right. And you know what? I'm going to spill all of the fucking tea, honey, because I don't know. I feel tricked. I feel betrayed for some reason, just because like here I am on my platform giving them. And I even joked then like, oh yeah, this little podcast that has millions of listeners, help right. them out, joking, you know. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners went over there and listened to them and now are going to be hooked on some of their shows. But fuck them. Boycott Gimlet Media. Less podcasts for me to fucking listen to. And most of them True. Are just sad middle-aged Jewish men complaining about stuff. And there's so many more podcasts about that. Okay? Listen to Mark Maron. So many. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to actually read this thread by Eric Eddings because it's very enlightening. And I really think it's important that we talk about this. You ready to take this journey with me?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Eric Eddings on February 16th said, last week I got an email from Shruti. So if you don't know who Shruti is, she's Shruti Penamaneni is one of the producers for Gimlet Media. She's done a lot. She's produced a lot of different podcasts that I've listened to. But anyway, here we go. Shruti, about Reply All's Test Kitchen series. I had been avoiding listening to it, but once I did, I felt gaslit. The truth is that Reply All, and specifically PJ and Shruti, contributed to a near identical toxic dynamic at Gimlet. This will be a longer thread. Apologies. Let me get into the thread. All right. So Eric goes on to say, the Bon Appetit staffer's stories deserve to be told, but to me, it's damaging to have that reporting and storytelling come from two people who have actively and aggressively, all capitals, worked against multiple efforts to diversify Gimlet's staff and content. A bit of background. Reply All was/is an island at Gimlet. It's the brand's biggest show, and it showed in resource and power. When they spoke, the company listened, but they rarely exercised this power beyond the scope of their team. It was a click. I've talked to PJ, and he's referencing PJ Vogt. I'm going to name all of them, okay? Multiple times, asking him to do more to contribute to diversity efforts at the company, asking him to join the diversity group, to lend a voice when I spoke up at staff meetings, anything to show the staff that he cared about that issue. His response was always that he liked that Reply All was perceived as a clique or a club, and he cared about the diversity, but would have to think more about how he could get involved beyond his team. This is the thing about these white men and these companies. Eric literally told him straight up, this is how you can help. And then they're like, I don't know how I can help. He literally just told you how you could help. You know what I mean? It's so infuriating.
And releasing those episodes about Bon Appetit, así se lavan las manos, güey.
Así like se estaban lavando las manos. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They were trying mm-hmm. to wash their hands and the guilt. And if you listen to the second episode, if it's still up, I don't know. I don't think it is. Shruti actually mentions it in the episode. Like, you know, this kind of does mirror what happened with me here at Gimlet. Anyway. Oof. When Gimlet unionized, I'm continuing the thread. When Gimlet unionized, many POs, I feel like Jake Yonsei. Do you know who Jake Yonsei is?
Mm-mm.
Oh, whatever. Okay. When Gimlet unionized, many POCs felt that it was their last chance at creating an environment with Gimlet where they could succeed. I joined the organizing committee. We put together a robust list of demands related to work conditions, equality, freelancers, diversity, and IP. Okay. When Reply All came up, many pointed out that PJ and Alex had some of the closest, deepest relationships to management. A lot of folks simply didn't know them. The folks who did know them didn't feel comfortable pushing back on the fears of others. So Reply All found out about the effort last. They were pissed. The team led by PJ, Sruthi, and Alex used their weight as a cudgel, I don't know that word, against our efforts at voluntary recognition. Sruthi personally held an anti-union meeting trying to rally people against it. I've personally seen harassing messages sent to PJ to other... Oh, sorry. Let me go... Okay, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. February 16th, I'm going to go ahead in this tweet. I've personally seen harassing messages sent by PJ to other organizing committee members, heard him denigrate other colleagues. He and I had a meeting where I begged him simply not to attack the union. So the Reply All people were against this union. Okay, that's the context of this. He told me that he was slacking, you know, Slack, the app, with Sruthi, yeah, the messaging app, and she had called me a piece of shit and asked him to tell me. I told him that we weren't going to disrespect each other, and he said, well, let me stop slacking with Sruthi then. Okay, that's the kind of people that are running Reply All. We went back and forth. So Eric continues, we went back and forth. I told them specific stories about POC who felt they had been discriminated against, the countless people who felt they had no pathway to promotion and full scope of what we wanted to achieve. He wasn't moved. I tried telling him about my own experiences here, how someone in senior leadership told me that they hadn't worked with me on diversity issues because I seemed too angry. I didn't comment on the diversity part, but they made sure to tell me that I had in fact seemed angry. The union drive was weakened by ultimately succeeding. Alex Goldman is now on the bargaining committee, and I've been told he's been a staunch ally since. But PJ and Sruthi producing and editing this series is a lot. They weren't obligated to support me, diversity efforts at Gimlet, or the union. I haven't spoken to Sruthi since the piece of shit comment. I saw PJ last fall, and we had a fairly civil conversation. His first words to me were, you were right about the union. But it was so triggering to hear the words of people who have suffered, like me, from people who caused that's suffering, okay? The focus should be on Bon Appetit and what they experience, but this series feels like an effort to rehabilitate themselves in the eyes of colleagues at Spotify and the ones who have left. PJ sent an apology to the union just last week. Sruthi sent an email, not an apology, but wanted to chat on the phone. That's another fucking thing these people do. Can we talk about this, bitch? I've been told she wanted me to talk to her for this series, which is rich. Eric, I love it. Okay, that time. Okay, so these are the last two tweets. Okay, that time was infinitely hard for me. There's more, but this is already long. I don't know what happens next. I'm annoyed that I have to talk about this. There are some producers at Reply All whose work I cherish. I'm not asking you to stop listening to their show, but I've always felt that if you have a platform and any sort of power, it's your duty to use that in service of each other's and to tell the truth. So I felt that I needed to speak up so that they tell the whole of it. It's true. They fucking gaslit everybody. Like, look at this. Oof. Look at Bon Appetit. What a horrible company. And they were doing the exact same fucking thing to their POC employees.
And the shit that is happening in so many other places.
I bring that up as a reminder, really, to myself to put attention. Okay? Put attention. Pay attention. And I remember when I was talking about it, even on the show, I was like, oh, fuck, something went down with them when they switched to Spotify, and I can't remember. Oh, well, and I just kept talking because I thought, wow, they're exposing the Bon Appetit story and making it...
They gotta be good, yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna be good. Not thinking, like, fuck, and how about all these other people's careers that they've put on hold, or all these people that they gaslit for all these years? You know, it's just, it's everywhere, right? And even in the in these places that are like coined as these like woke organizations that are diverse. And honestly, they used Eric and Brittany when they had The Nod. Even though The Nod was a really great show, I remember the critique of The Nod was like, this is a show about Black culture for white people. And I bet a lot of that influence on making the show geared toward a white audience came from the producers and,
I mean,
the,
so much
and the higher
like
ups of Gimlet. So they're like, fuck, well, we're already working here. We want to make this show the best show that we can. And trust, a lot of those episodes were amazing. But, you know, it was, again, through the white gaze or for the white gaze, I should
say.
Yeah,
making it kind of like the Beatles with blues music, making it safe for white kids.
Ugh. Exactly, exactly. But I've heard some rumors that Brittany and Eric are starting another project soon. And so I'm excited to give them a big shout out when they release their new podcast or whatever they're working on right now.
Nice, nice.
Okay, I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Good, good. It's important because, like, that's the thing. Like, sometimes we don't have time to, like, really go into all of this, as you say, blind spots. But this shit is happening, you know? And I'm glad that they were called out. That's good.
Yeah. All right. All right, Babs. It's that time again to talk about the LWL, the ABCs of Latinidad coloring book.
As you all know, this is a beautiful coloring book that is available through Writer's Blocks in Las Vegas, and it's a reminder of our identity in the most nuanced ways. And this is your opportunity. Like, things are like the copies are running out, and if you don't get it now, espero se van a arrepentir.
And you can get it at latinoswholunch.com/coloringbook. As Babelito said, they're also available at the Writer's Block here in Las Vegas. Again, latinoswholunch.com/coloringbook. And we're back. Okay, let's just jump right in. Let's do it. Babs, you want to go first?
Let's do it. So the first one is from number one fan. It's called Conspiracies. Hi, Fabi and Babelito. I think you all should deconstruct Jenny Rivera's death and the conspiracy that she is still alive. People have speculated that she knew she was going to die porque estaba amenazada. By who? I know there is tea about her daughter, but I don't know the details. I'm just saying La Mariposa del Barrio needs an LWL episodes. Abrazos, your number one fan.
Well, we're not going to give her an episode, but we will talk about it now. Sorry. Number one fan.
Have you watched it?
Girl. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to. Isn't it like 91 episodes or something?
I have no idea. Like, I've always liked her, but I never followed her. You know what I'm saying? Like, when people will like, because a lot of people hated her and will throw shade. Ay, que muy naca iba, vos sabes así. And that shit me cae gordísimo.
Yeah.
But, and I remember, like, every time I went to go have breakfast with my mother, she will be on the radio because she also had a radio show. And she was so funny. Me recordaba mis tías, man. But no, like, I never followed her. So, like, it's so funny that we read this because my suegra Rosa mama, she was telling me all the tea about la hija, about la Chiqui Rivera, everything that she went through.
Y okay, el spill the tea, honey. What is it? I don't know.
No, me acuerdo, wey. I don't know. I think La Mariposa del Barrio, I think she's probably one of the producers, La Chiqui Rivera. So, like, I think she's telling her story. So, you know, like, apparently she went through a lot of shit. But de que se murió y que la amenazaron. Mira, every time there's somebody super famous that dies at the height of their fame, there's always these theories. My dad is convinced convince Honey that Juan Gabriel is alive. Pero también Pedro Infante y también Jim Morrison y también Guara Guara la fucking cuchara. Entonces, I don't know. I mean, el problema es que, like, when it comes to that, when it comes to certain genres of music, sometimes, I mean, that's what el pueblo likes and that's what, like, Narcos likes and shit. So sometimes, like, those, like, commitments to play at somebody's house that maybe you shouldn't play, that comes with the territory and it becomes like very precarious. So I heard, but I don't know, like, does it matter at this point, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, there's been a lot
that's all I know.
There's been a lot of speculation about her being connected to the Narcos, you know, in northern Mexico. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything because I want to live another day. But I fell in love with Jenny Rivera actually for her reality show. Did you ever see her reality show, I Love Jenny?
I think I saw one episode, but it was so long ago. Okay, no me acuerdo.
I like that those kind of reality shows because they're just like pointless, like hanging out in the house. I just remember that her kids were so fucking lazy and she was just such a nice mom, and that's like my idea of Jenny Rivera, like this funny, like Chicana, that's norteña, that's really funny.
And they're from Long Beach, right?
Yeah,
they're from Long Beach.
And I heard rumors about La Chiquis, you know, and maybe some shady shit that went down between her and the stepdad and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to blow that up. And you guys can Google that bullshit. But, and yeah, you're right. Anytime a celebrity dies, they're like, oh, yes, Tupac. Yeah, Tupac and Elvis hanging out in Cuba or whatever. Like, okay, whatever.
Yo los vi en Whole Foods.
Girl, that's where you really, trust. If you want to hide. Go hide in the produce section at Whole Foods. Nobody's there because nobody's buying that expensive ass shit. I don't think so, honey.
No, but it's also $3
for a tomato? No, thanks.
But, like, think about it. Like, Juan Gabriel died and he was the victim or whatever. When it comes to a female celebrity and a little bit of drama, like, that's when the patriarchy comes through con todos los fucking chismes. Like, right now I'm thinking about todo el pedo con la esposa del Chapo. Like, it's been so, like, she's a monster. And probably she is. But, so it's the fucking husband. He's the one who did all this shit, you know? So, but he's portrayed as Robin Hood for many reasons, you know. Like, I'm in neither side of that whole entire conversation, but when it comes to La Esposa, everybody's like crucifying her, but it's like, because she's a woman, you know, and we love to do that shit to women, you know. So I don't know. I think there's so much more that we will never know, and who cares?
Truly. This actually reminds me, before we started recording the show, we actually got a voicemail from Araceli from last week, and I'm not going to play it, but I'll paraphrase it. And if y'all don't remember, listeners, Araceli sent an email about Mahjong and how these white girls had appropriated it. But at the end of the email, they talked about people being too PC nowadays. Are we being too PC? Like, should we change Loteria if we're going to complain about this Mahjong thing? And then they also mentioned that her girlfriend called her Negrita, and she thinks that's fine because it's a term of endearment. She recognized what we were saying in this voicemail, and I understand that things can be out of context when we read them on the show, and she sounded apologetic, but also... But also, like, she knows what's up, and you know, you can't really hear tone in an email as well. So I just want to tell you, Araceli, hey, we love you. Thank you for listening to us. I heard it in her voice. Like, she didn't want to make us upset or whatever, but it's just like, girl, what do you think?
Yes.
But what she also said was that she was referencing more cancel culture that she doesn't agree with. And I would actually agree with Araceli on that.
Same.
And we canceled you. So I know you must really be feeling that burn, and uh-huh. you're going to stay canceled for a little while, but we do...
Sorry.
We do... I do agree with you on that. I don't know if y'all remember, but a few months ago, more than a few, a year ago at this point, my word, I interviewed... Julia Mejia in Boston. She's a counselor for Dorchester out there, councilwoman. Mm-hmm. And we had a big conversation about cancel culture, and she liked to think of it as call-in culture. Like, instead of just not listening to them, you know, listening to the other side, listening to their perspective, just canceling them and not getting the context of a conversation or of a tweet or whatever, it's better to call in. And I agree with that. So,
yeah, because like otherwise we just like, and we saw it here in this yeah. fucking country, like you're just going to disenfranchise a group of people that are going to end up just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And I don't think that's the point of being politically correct, you know? So, like, it's, I mean, if, and we talked about this many times, if you get an opportunity and you feel like it and to educate somebody, do it. Like, don't just be like, oh, this person said this, so I'm done with them. Like, that's so easy, you know? But that just keeps yeah. just alienating and highlighting difference between peoples. And that's not healthy.
So, Araceli... I was kidding. You're not canceled. And we just called you in and you called us. We're cool. Everybody's cool.
Everything is good.
And let's just keep listening. Let's keep reading these letters with the same questions every week. Okay. Next one. Oh my goodness. All right, Babs, you might have to help me on this one because most of it is in Spanish, but I think I can do it.
Okay. Dale.
Okay. Hector, not Hector. Hector, okay?
Hector.
Shout out to Hector, my cousin Hector. Okay, here we go. Representation and appropriation in Onyx Equinox. Mm-hmm. Saludos, Fabi, Fabi, Babelito. Oh, que show, que show, que show. Antes que nada, espero que este correo les encuentre con bien y buenos espíritus durante esta pandemia y situación política en los Estados Unidos. Soy mexicano de nacimiento y crianza, whatever that means, right? Estoy en la... I'm getting my MFA de Historia de Arte de la Universidad de Houston y looking forward to apply and enroll at UNM. Okay,
yes. UNM!
Al igual que muchas personas, le he macheteado desde que pisé en este país trabajando como indocumentado, mainly construcción y restaurantes, por mucho tiempo y en muchos estados. Después tuve el privilegio de documentos y pensé que educarme sería la mejor forma de cambiar, influenciar. Is that really a word? Influenciar. Yeah. Las realidades que he experimentado. Wait, yep, that's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ha sido muy bittersweet porque la educación, al igual que healthcare y housing, son un negocio. That's pero, right. pero aquí andamos macheteándole. Girl, macheteándole, how violent. Okay. Take it easy, maybe that's why. Okay. En un principio, trabajando dos full-timers restaurants con full credit load como undergrad, café en la AM, energy drinks en las tardes y seguirle con margaritas para dormir. Ja, 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 ja. Ahora tengo el gran privilegio de ser un research fellow para CMAS mientras termino la tesis. El último escalón. All right. Here we go. Después de esa novela, my God, thank you. Thank you so much. Mi pregunta es algo conflictiva. No sé si han visto la serie animada Onyx Equinox por Crunchyroll por una mexicana blanca, hija de un arquitecto a cargo de desarrollar la industria hotelera en Cancún. Basada en la historia mesoamericana, for lack of a better term. Apenas voy en el episodio 7, pero tengo conflicto. Por un lado, me encanta la serie y la idea de que trata de la historia the Turtle Island, Aztecas, Mayas, Totono. How do you say that?
Totonacas.
That sounds wrong. Totonacas so far. Por otro lado, me pregunto acerca del problema de historic accuracy. Further mythologize la historia de culturas ancestrales dentro una cultura popular. Atascar diferentes periodos. Is that how you say it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cronológicos como si hubiesen sucedido en un solo evento. Apropiación cultural e ignorar las voces de las personas descendientes de estas culturas y que la ganancia económica se quede en otras manos. Okay. Who gets to tell that history and how, right? Me pregunto qué piensan. Mi amiga y colega Tori me invitó a su podcast, Art Watch Podcast, para tener conversación acerca de esta serie. Le estaremos dando más importancia de la que merece. Al final del día, solo son dibujos animados, pero la influencia cultural... I agree with you, Hector. Pero la influencia cultural y reificación... Reificación. Girl, these words. This waking up my native tongue, honey. The conquistador jumped out. Okay. Pero la influencia cultural y reificación de la cultura ajena no es de suma importancia. I hope I didn't take too much of your time in reading my email. Girl, it's been 2 hours. I don't know how long it's been. Okay. Saludos y más amor, Héctor. Okay. Now, this is a question for you, Babs, because this is nerd shit.
It is definitely nerd shit.
So, I did go on to Crunchyroll. And I watched a little bit of the first episode of Onyx Equinox. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen like 3 episodes.
Okay, so can you explain what the show is?
This is supposedly an anime show, as Hector mentioned. It's by Awaitina. I had no idea sus links con el narcotráfico, a.k.a. la zona hotelera de Cancún, Asco. So obviously he's coming from a very privileged background. He's coming from a background of tourism, in which, like, there's a whole entire culture created to develop a fantasy about what Mexico represents, in this case, Mayan culture. Now, a lot of this shit makes sense after after Hector menciona eso. What they try to do is they try to do a pan-Mesoamerican anime where you have references to Aztec, Tolteca, references to different cultures in Mesoamerica, but of course with an emphasis on all the empires, because that's what Mexico has been doing since fucking 1821, right? So, and it's centered around a small boy who happens to be a chosen one. All this, like, dioses de ultratumba come from the dead and they guide him in his journey, and there's jaguars, like everything that you can think about of Mayan culture. Somehow it's in Aztec culture, somehow it's put together. I agree with him. It's exciting to see for once an anime that is dedicated to to Mesoamerican cultures. If somebody will do their homework, there's so many crazy and amazing and incredible stories in Mesoamerican mythology to develop hundreds, if not thousands, of different movie scripts and anime. But this one gets it all wrong. This gets it all wrong because it really... it's not nuanced. The dialogues are lazy as fuck. Yes, you have all these brown characters, but again, visibility is a trap. And I really do think that there's a lot of appropriation because there's no context to all of that. And it's always about sacrifice. And this is this one the truth comes out, that this came from somebody that has this tourist background. There's a fascination since 1493, when the first letters of Columbus went back to Europe, with the idea of people eating each other, cannibals, and people sacrificing each other, decontextualizing indigenous religions, decontextualizing Mesoamerican religions, just to render American peoples as the other that needs to be intervened and colonize. So what you see here in Crunchyroll is the same shit. Everything surrounds about the idea surrounds around the idea of sacrifice, and it's bullshit. You know, when there's so much more to like American peoples before the arrival of the of Christopher Columbus into the continent that really should and need to be explored. So there is like annoying appropriations. The idea of homogenizing all indigenous groups as if they were all the same, if they like their symbols and art and language and rituals were all the same, when it's not. From Aztecs to Mayan, it's a whole entire different world. There's a lot of different traits that are similar in all the cultures, but it's a whole entire different world. I do not recommend this. I commend you for getting to episode number 7, but I wish I would have done like you did, Fabian, just watched part of 1. I tried. We did like 3 episodes, and I just, every time we see it in our queue, I'm just like, I can't go back to this. It's just, it's a bad show. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, just from the few minutes that I watched, yeah, the Moctezuma character sliced his throat and his blood ran down the thing. And I'm like, even me who has very little, I guess I would have more than like average knowledge of these civilizations because of the art that I do. Real quick, now that I'm talking about it. The work that I'm doing for Museo del Barrio in the exhibition is Estamos Bien, Museo del Barrio's triennial that is actually open now, that will open mid-March. It's an interpretation of Carlos Merida's interpretation of the Popol Vuh. So I've been reading up on that. So it really pisses me off, this idea of like, of Aztecs and Mayans being these savage people.
Right.
And it's depicted in these cartoons or in this animation.
Yeah.
In the same exact way. But like the way that people also depict like how they lived is so like, I know that it's historically inaccurate. Like these there was more color. Like we're looking at ruins. Like those ruins didn't look like that.
No, they were covered in stucco and different colors.
They were all different colors, and they were all, and there was plants everywhere, and people just didn't sit on the dirt. You know what I mean? It's like, it was a civilization. It wasn't
like, it was when the Spanish arrived and they saw the Aztec capital, they never saw anything like that. They describe it as being the most fucking clean place. There's even references of like the Aztecs approaching the Spanish with flowers in their mouth because they fucking stunk, you know? Like,
yeah.
So there's like, if you really try to render the other as savage and barbarian, like that's also the way that the Aztecs and others saw the Spanish. So like, it's not like a unilateral history. Like there's so many different ways in which to interpret it. And I was just thinking about this. I'm glad you mentioned like, oh, like the way of life is different. I just saw this presentation online, and we have like it's like a Mesoamerican scholars group in UIC, and we're all super ancient. We're all Mesoamerican scholars. But this scholar, Barbara Mundi, deconstructed the meaning of painting. What is it to because we have the idea of the artist, what the artist is, what it signifies, and everything. And in the Aztec world, it was the person that extracted pigments out of flowers or plants. It was the person that gave color to a page. It was so there was like the idea of action and process, the person that gave life to something into a page. It wasn't just like, oh, I am the artist, I'm this, like, you know, like godlike figure. No, it's somebody that was part of the process of nature. So flowers and writing will always come together in this idea of making art. Just with that single concept alone, you can create a whole fucking entire anime, you know, without having to go with the old trope of like, oh, like sacrifice. Yes, sacrifice was part of their lives, but so were wars in Europe, you know? So it's like, but yeah, we romanticize Game of Thrones, all that bullshit. But when it comes to like sacrifice and everything, it's always like, ay, no, qué feos, qué retrógradas. It's all bullshit, man.
And also all of these animes being anglicized.
Yeah.
It bothered. Like the way that the people look in this anime it's already anime, right? So it has that aesthetic. But then even anime like in Japan or in Asia, wherever, I don't know much about it, but I've noticed like that they changed people's skin color and their features to be more European looking. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
Really big eyes and chiseled bone structure and this and that. Which, you know, some of our ancestors did have really nice cheekbones, okay? I'm not saying that. That's false. But I'm like, why is the hero always tall and lanky? When you look at the way that a lot of indigenous folks are, they're not really built that way, right? So it would have been nice to see different body shapes represented and not just like, usually it's like the fat person is like the king or the jester, right? It's never like a normal character, like a bumbling person, right? So anyway, I just from watching a few minutes of it, I got that much critique out of it. And I just want to thank you, Hector, for pointing that out and being critical when you're watching this, because yes, it should be like, wow, this is a win for us, like cool Latinx representation, but visibility is a trap, honey.
It is. And shout out to you for applying to UNM. If you need any help, just go to the UIC website and you can find my email, and I will be more than happy to guide you in applying. I can tell you to talk to people. I've sent students to UNM and I cannot recommend it enough. So if you need any help with that application, I'm not going to spend hours just because I'm busy, but I definitely can give you some guidance, or at least talk to you and give you some pointers about your application. So shout out to you.
Yes. I thought you were going to say, just go on the UNM website and apply. That's it.
One okay. Day, one. Do you remember that? The National American University. Anyway, okay.
Nope. Go ahead. Next one.
Next email. Dan from Dan H. The name game. After listening to the last podcast, I realized I have something to get off my chest while there's still time. Aside from LWL being the best media period, I am in my most favorite podcast for the past 5 years! Thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel some type of way when my name gets referenced in the shoutouts, as I low-key suspect that the joy comes out of Fabi's voice is directed to another Dan H. Is this Stalin Valor? Valor? I don't know. Valor?
Valor.
Is this how you Valor. Is this stolen Valor? Why is Dan Hernandez the most common name? I'm being reminded constantly about the other DHs in my life. Looking at you, Tekashi 69. One time, I got almost suspended from high school for another Dan's shenanigans. On the other side, I also have been able to walk into guest list only events simply by showing my ID at the door and getting under someone else's credentials. Would love to hear anyone's stories about being lost in the name game. Love always, Dan H. No, no hay muchos Emanueles, even though I end up marrying one, which every time we do insurance or something, it's a game. But other than that, I think I know maybe one more Emmanuel and that's it. So it's, I don't know, that doesn't happen to me. ¿A ti te pasa, Fabi?
Yes, and I'd like to address the question, if my joy was directed at another Dan. Yes. And I realized that I think after like the second or third time, but it was like too late. So then I just kept saying it because I was like, wait, that's not my friend Dan's email. Because you could see the emails in the Patreon. But Dan, I've known it's you for a long time. So that enthusiasm transferred to you, okay? So now you are also Dan the Man Hernandez, all right? I talked to my friend Dan here in Vegas about it. And we had a good laugh about it. And I was like, bitch, you better get on the Patreon because I thought it was you this whole time. Anyway.
At least it's not Juan Lopez. That's a name that I hear a lot. So, I mean,
I feel like Emmanuel is super common. I can't believe you only know one other Emmanuel.
Seriously? I met my husband, I met another Emmanuel in LA as well. And that's it. And the one from Café Tacuba, pero es todo.
And Emmanuel the singer. And Manny who works at the Barrick. And Manny who he used to date. And Manny, and you just keep listing
Manny's.
That's
Manny's. Manuel, güey. That's not Emmanuel.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about my name, and honestly, yeah, my actual government name is Justin, and my whole life I've had nicknames because everybody in my classes growing up was named Justin. So, but not my full name. That's a trip to have like a full name that's interchangeable with a lot of other people's, you know?
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. So like, I think in my fourth grade or fifth grade, one of my elementary grades, there was five Justins in the same class.
Oh my God.
So we all were called by our last names, basically. And that's why people call me Favi now, because in high school, people just started calling me Favela. Because I was in marching band and I was like really cool, you know, and there was several Justins in the marching band. And so whenever we would be doing our, I can't believe I'm saying this, when we would be at band camp, and we were we were training for the season, the marching season, the coaches and stuff and the directors would just yell Favela, like. Because
oh
I was
God.
Lazy. It stuck, and people just called me Favela, and then they shorted to Fav, and then, you know, I'm a f***, so they started calling me Favi. Okay, so I relate to it in that sense, for sure.
And it's also trends. I know, for example, when my nephew was named Sebastian, apparently that was one of the most popular names that year. Like, we don't even know that we're doing that. So, like, that's what happens. And then you go to school and you realize there's all these people with your same name. I think, and like, you always see those lists published, like, the most popular name this year was. And many times it has to do with our celebrity culture. But so it's a common thing. It's a common thing.
Yeah, for sure. Also with pets, I know so many cats named Luna. Like, come on, people. Think outside the box, okay?
Shout out to Nicole. That's how she named her daughter. Okay.
Oh, my God. See? Now it's a human, Luna. Qué bonito ese nombre. Wow. Okay. Dan H. Thank you so much, Dan H. The Dan H. Muchísimas gracias, comadre.
The one and only. Do we have time for one more or no?
Fine. Let's do it. Mariela says, question about language. Hola, Fabi. It's Favi. I don't know how you got Fabi. My God. Y Babalito. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I'm reaching out as an educator who has transitioned into... I can't even talk. Has transitioned into the museum world. I work for a museum in SoCal. With the pandemic, we have had to make a shift to the digital format. I have been making a conscious decision to use more gender-neutral, inclusive language in our English videos, but I seem to be struggling on how to do this in Spanish. As you know, the language is very gendered. Do you have any resources that might be helpful? Or in general, thoughts about inclusive language and how that might translate to Spanish. Mil gracias por siempre hacerme reír. Valoro tanto el trabajo que hacen como podcasters, artistas, educadores, and just humans. Thank you in advance. Con mucho, mucho amor, Mariela. What do you think, Babs?
Eso está complicado porque...
There's you mean complicade?
Está complicadex. It's que like, while it's important and it's the sentiment and the politics of not gendering everything, you know, like potentially is, it's the way that we should go. It's also to a certain degree utopic because that's to restructure the whole entire language. You know what I mean? Are there resources? Not that I know of, because there is, I mean, girl, with one word, Latinx, we're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. I'm still seeing presentations from academics approaching the idea of Latinx instead of just like fucking adopting and be the fucking, you know, like just fucking be quiet. We're still dealing with it. That's one word. So there's so many things in the language that are like that, that are gendered, misgendered, and it's just like, it's the consequences of having a language that is based on a binary system, you know? And that binary, not just about gender, but about everything, you know? And this relates to the question about the way that we portray Native American cultures, the approaches to a lot of things, I'm not saying everything, but a lot of things wasn't necessarily binary. It wasn't just good and evil, black and white. It was a lot more complicated. But then we were oppressed into transitioning into this binary system. And so now not only it's about the way that we gender things, it's the way we think about gender and the way that we gender things. So it's super, 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 super complicated, you know? So I'm going to be 100% honest. While there's a lot of translating services that you could use to have a lot of those videos in Spanish and stuff, approaching that, it's one of those things that maybe that's what the other listener was talking about, like, oh, people are being too politically correct. This is an example where like being too politically correct, it might not necessarily be productive, you know, because we can get stuck in this conversation forever as opposed to like take on action on other potentially more important things. Not saying that it's not important, it's just that it's too complicated, you know, just because we're talking about a language that it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. I don't know. I'm lost on this one.
I'm going to politely disagree with you on this one, Babs, because I think that it's up to us. And what Mariela's doing at this museum is important. And yes, the language is really old, but shit, language evolves every day. Right. And I understand that, like, even objects, like, everything is gendered, but
that's what I'm referring to, yeah.
Right, but I think if we're referring to people, that's something that's very easy to either have a gender-neutral term or a more inclusive term when we're translating.
And yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so true. I mean, I'm part of a few organizations. Shout out to PLAN here, Progressive Leadership Alliance here in Nevada. And also shout out to Mi Gente. I'm also a member of Mi Gente. And all of their emails that I get come with inclusive pronouns. And they choose, a lot of organizations choose to use e instead, like ella instead of él or ella, right? And mm-hmm. So... that's a very simple way to start using more gender-neutral pronouns, you know, a group of people or a singular person. And that's where it starts. And so I did a little bit of research about this. You're right. There's not like a directory or anything. There is like a Wikipedia with gender inclusive pronouns or gender neutral pronouns, and it goes through all the languages just to see kind of what other languages are using. And of course, the most common one for Spanish is just using ella or putting an e at the end of things, but also, of course, Latinx. Personally, just using the E is easier for me to roll off the tongue. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's hard when you're like Latinx.
You have to retrain your brain.
Yeah, but saying Latine is very similar to Latina or Latino. you know?
Right.
So I would start with that. Like, if you're referencing specific people. If you're referencing groups of people,
yeah,
sure, start using that gender inclusive E. But if you're referencing a person that's non-binary or wants to have gender neutral pronouns, you can ask them. It doesn't hurt to ask what they prefer, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of went through this a little bit with Art People Podcast, because I've had a few people on the show that use gender neutral pronouns, and I had this moment where I was like, oh my God, should I be using gender neutral pronouns for everything just to be safe? Like, I don't want to offend anybody. But then I have to remind myself, like, no, a lot of people really identify with their gender and are proud to be Latina or Latino. And there's also people that have transitioned and are now seeking the affirmation of their gender. And so I've had friends tell me, like, you're using the right pronoun for me. Like, right. I identify as male. You can call me Latino, you know? And that actually affirms my gender. So thank you, you know? And it's, it may be an awkward conversation at first, but what you'll notice is that the fact that you're trying to be more inclusive and paying attention is beyond what many people do. So just the fact that you're thinking about it and trying to start to change the language a little bit is a huge deal, and eventually it'll just become a normal thing.
And that's one thing I learned from Lance. Shout out to Lance, because he told me once, he's like, when we had this conversation, they told me that they said, I don't necessarily subscribe to being called she or to subscribe they, because sometimes that, like, my struggles with that are so different than the struggles that I've seen from other trans people. So, like, I don't want my the way that people refer to me to be a miscommunication that I had the same type of struggles. You know, like, everybody has a different fight. And sometimes they're like, I choose not to impose that on people because that's not what I want to do, you know? So it's like, it's a case-to-case basis. And
exactly.
You're absolutely right. As long as you make the effort, which is more than, like, some people have, you know, like, received most of their lives. Like, that's already, like, a good thing, you know? And yeah, it's awkward conversation, but ask. That's important.
And also, it's not a pass for people. Like, oh, you tried, honey. Pat on the head. Like, great job. No, actually, try also, you know? Like, it's not that fucking hard to try. Right? Like, the hetero, the binary, the heteronormativity is so strong that we live so deep in it that we're not paying attention. So just pay attention. And you know what? Let's take a break. I have a recommendation now, thinking about this conversation, that I think is really, really important. So thank you so much, Mariela, for your question.
Gracias, Mariela.
Congratulations on your new job in the museum world. Good luck.
Good luck.
OMG Babs, it's that time. We're gonna thank all of our comadres. I'm so excited, aren't you?
Let's do it. There's so many names we have to go through, so we will start with Abigail N.
Thank you, Ada V.
Adriana C.
Hey, Alan M.
Alba.
Alberto G.
Alejandra N.
Alejandro M.
Alma A. Shout out to you.
Ana C. P.
Ana Rio. Shout out.
Angelica.
Angelica N. We love you. Thank you.
Anita R. Love you.
Antonio V. Shout out to you.
Aurora L.
Barry, that is. Barry from Podcast in Color. Brittany D, shout out.
Camille S.
Candy G.
Gata P.
Chelsea MH.
Chris E. V.
Christian R.
Cody B.
Cynthia J.
Daisy M.
Dan.
Damn the man. Daniel S.
David Eye.
Deborah R.
Diana G.
Diana L.
Dulce CP.
Edelweiss C.
Elizabeth A.
Elizabeth G.
Erica A. Shout out to you.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Ace Berry B.
Esteban C.
Full Static F.
Gabriela O.
Gabby L.
German Herman M.
German M. Gilberto A.
Grecia R.
Greece R.
Holly S.
Isis S.
Oh, girl, I have to give you a call. I'm here. Itzel S. Shout out.
Ivana E.
Jake N.
Janet R.
Love you. Janet H.
Jesse R.
Jessica M.
Jessica V.
Jonah S.
Josue R.
Juan DT.
Juliana R.
Catherine H.
Kikis.
Laura E.
Laudadora N. Damn, we got a lot of comadres. Thank you.
Leah TH.
Lisa E. Ooh, this name is a new one.
Lisa Hira. Luisa.
Lydia M.
Magali E.
Maria F.
Maria J.
Maria J. Maria P. G.
Marimar M.
M. Marisol.
Martha A. J.
Michael L.
Mimi R.
Nick B.
Osiris O. Come on, sister.
Raciel C.
Raquel S. V.
Robert L.
Robert M.
Rosaura.
Rosa P.
Rosario C. S.
Sara R.
Namaste. Shannon M.
Susan A.
Sylvia F.
Tanya DR.
Tanya MS.
Tyler.
Valentina.
Vanessa L.
Veronica C.
Wendy J.
Sochi S.
Josie Yedi. Shout out to you and all our comadres. Yedi. Muchísimas gracias for all your support. Wow. We love you. We love to see the family growing, even though it's almost over. But thank you so much for everything.
Oh, qué triste. You can support Latinos Who Lunch for a few more months or join the LWL fam at LatinosWhoLunch/Patreon. We got at least one bonus episode every month, early releases when possible. If you join the Madrina level, we got a little gift that we send you guys. Some people have been writing because when I send out things, you know, people get my address. So I have a few pen pals, which is very nice.
But, oh, nice.
It's very nice. And also, feel free to message us. If you're on Patreon and you want to have a conversation with us, we are available. Send us a message. We'll respond in the comments. It's really fun. If you want to watch the Selena watch-alongs, we put all the episodes on the Patreon. It's a hoot. All right.
Órale, pues.
Recomendaciones, Babs, dale.
Again, if you have Instagram, make sure to go to Chulita Vinyl Club. Check out their stories. They are offering all kinds of different institutions, organizations, and resources in which you can donate and help with this mess that is happening in Texas. We love you, all of our Texas family. Stay strong. And to everybody that is listening, please, 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 it's not too late. There's still time to donate. There's still time to help others, especially with water, man. Like, as simple as that. So again, Chulita Vinyl Club at Instagram, and check out their stories and you can help. So this is, I didn't want to distract with my music this week. So I wanted to just leave it at this. Chulita Thank Vinyl God. Club Instagram.
Yeah, the Chulita Vinyl Club has a Google Doc that they have prepared with so many links. And so I'm just going to put the direct Google Doc link in the show notes. So
if you don't
have Instagram, you can still find it just on our show notes directly to it. They have statewide links if you want to help Austin specifically, Central Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, El Paso. It's by region. RGV, shout out to RGV, Houston, San Antonio. We send our love, Texas. We love you.
Yes, we love you, everybody.
Okay, so my recommendation this week, and the email by Marisela actually prompted this because made me think of a recent episode of Tea with Queen and Jay. You know, I love Queen and Jay. I love Tea with Queen and Jay podcast. I interviewed them for this show. They are incredible, doing so much work. If you don't support them and you listen to them, please consider signing onto their Patreon. They're one of my favorite podcasts. And episode 281 recently is called the Gender Episode. And Janicia specifically talks about her gender and how, you know, they use they, them pronouns, also she and her, but the complexities in that. And they were called in by one of their listeners about the language they use for one of their segments. And Queen and Jay were trying to be as inclusive as possible because they have this Pay Black Women segment, and they're also including like non-binary. They wanted to broaden the term women, right? So it was more inclusive, basically. And by doing that, they alienated some folks, specifically non-binary folks that they don't identify as women, right? And so it was a very complicated topic and conversation. But I really like that even though it was complicated, they still went in and talked about it. And Janicia expressed a lot about her personal gender. It's a very interesting discussion, and it really opened my mind and let me see into some blind spots that I myself hadn't even thought about. So if you are interested in a more nuanced and in-depth conversation about gender, check out the Gender Episode by Tea with Queen and Jay. All right, sweet. That's my rec.
Sweet.
All right, anything else, Babs?
I think that's it.
All right, as always, you can visit us at latinoswithlunch.com. Please leave us a review whenever you can. If you've been listening to us for 5 years and haven't done it, what are you waiting for, Mimi?
Shame on you.
That's right, Latinos with Lunch, shaming their listeners from day one. So please leave 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are.
And visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Manuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Goodbye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.